is Chris. Welcome to Odyssey. We're just getting ready for a time of wonder, excitement, and discovery. So why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting adventure in Odyssey.
Excuse me, Mr. Hollard? Can I get past you?
Whoa! There's no crossing the men at work tape, young lady. That hallway is closed off.
Something bad didn't happen in there, did it?
Oh, boy, I'll say it did. There's a hit and run. A robot vacuum cleaner that Eugene invented didn't know there was a wall here.
Oh, no.
Or over there. Or down there. It's been arrested and is now serving time as a leaf blower. What are you doing?
Oh, hiding from my homework. All of a sudden it ganged up on me and I can't cope. To be honest, sometimes I don't know what the point is.
The point? Well, it's about learning, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think I already know all I need to know.
Well, that's great, because now I could use some help installing this sheetrock here and over there and down there. Well, put an apron on and...
Oh, wait, I have to sneeze.
It's the dust.
Bless you, child.
Thanks. Anyway, Hey, who said that?
I did, and I agree. It's terribly dusty around here. It's a wonder any of us can breathe.
Who is that? I don't see anybody.
That's because you're looking in the wrong place. Check out the portrait behind you.
The what? Oh, Mr. Hollard, that painting is alive?
Yeah, I guess you've never visited Witt's Special Gallery. All these portraits are interactive. That's neat, huh?
Yeah. Who is this man?
Why don't you ask him yourself?
No need to be shy. I'm Frederick Douglass.
Hi. I've heard of you, I think.
You think? Olivia, this man was one of America's great authors, editors, speakers, and statesmen. A leading light for the abolition of slavery and the rights of women.
Huh.
Oh, wait. Sorry, you said you've already learned all that, so I guess I don't need to tell you.
Well, I meant I want to learn about stuff that's relevant. Things kids are interested in. Like, you know, art and music.
Ah, yes, music. It's one of the chief accomplishments of mankind.
I love it! If I could go to school and learn nothing but music, that would suit me just fine. See, I want to be a singer.
You remind me of Ella Shepherd.
Huh?
Though she didn't allow her love of music to keep her from pursuing an education.
Who's Ella Shepherd?
Oh, she sang with one of the most famous singing groups of all time, the Jubilee Singers.
They can't be that famous. I've never heard of them.
What? Impossible.
I'm sorry, I don't know them.
Well, then listen closely, child, and I'll tell you. But I'll have to take you back. Back to the days following the war between the states.
That would be the Civil War, by the way.
Got it.
Times were bad after the war. The South was devastated. And only those with some semblance of an education had a fighting chance to succeed. And that was the problem. Most slaves weren't educated.
Well, didn't they go to school?
Oh, no. In those days, the law forbade persons of color from learning. Those who did were whipped or killed or both. With freedom came the chance to go to school. But what schools? That was the problem. Until some enterprising folks started them, specifically to help former slaves. And that's how Fisk University came about.
Fisk University?
Uh-huh. It was the first American school to offer an education to young men and women, regardless of color. Less than a year after the end of the war, it opened in Nashville, Tennessee.
But what does this have to do with singing and music?
Oh, music was a large part of everyday life for most Negroes. We sang in our churches, in the fields, while working the cattle, while cleaning the houses. So it was only a matter of time before a singing group was formed at Fisk University, thanks to George White.
Who was he?
George Leonard White was a Union veteran of Gettysburg and Chancellorsville. He was hired to be the treasurer of Fisk University, though his work involved a lot more than that. He helped to raise funds for the school. He was a strong Christian and a natural-born leader and spoke directly and true, which meant he often stepped on people's toes.
As a veteran of the war, I've seen brothers and friends strewn across battlefields turned red with their own blood. These were men who fought for something they considered more important than their own lives, the freedom of others. As a result, we live in a new era with new opportunities. You are all here to make a beginning for yourselves and your families, and you shall succeed. The battlefield stained red with the blood of our brothers and the generations of your ancestors who paid for the ultimate sacrifice for your freedom will not be in vain.
What had once been unthinkable was now possible. Negroes could go to school and learn, they could vote and even run for political office. But having those rights by law didn't mean that everybody agreed with them. Some folks resented what Fisk University was trying to do, which meant that something as simple as attending school could be a dangerous thing.
All right, now, I want everyone to sit down. We have a lot of work to do today, starting with grammar. You want to learn to speak properly, don't you? How far do you think you'll get with all your ain'ts and yes'ins?
Mr. Wheeler.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Will we be learning from the Bible?
Scripture is a solid foundation for any education, Benjamin.
Oh, that's good. Because while I'm not much at grammar, when it comes to the Bible, I knock down verbs, break up prepositions, and jump over adjectives. God is my school, and I am his pupil.
Uh-huh. Go on, right. Benjamin.
Well said, Benjamin. Now please sit down. Benjamin! Everyone get down. Thomas, get away from that window.
It's someone in a mask and robes. He's riding off now.
Benjamin, are you all right?
Yes, sir. I think so. It's just a nick. Nothing serious, thank the Lord.
Oh, nothing serious? You were just shot, man.
Barely broke skin, sir. I'm fine. No need to raise a fuss.
Nonsense. Let me take a look at you. Pull up your shirt.
It's not necessary, sir.
You're in my charge. I'll judge what is and what isn't necessary. Let me look at you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you've only been grazed. Let me see your back.
No need, sir.
Hold still. Will you please? Never mind. Pull your shirt back down.
Don't be alarmed, Mr. Wheeler. Those scars are from my first owner. He liked the whip. They don't hurt much anymore.
I see.
There isn't a colored person in this room that hasn't been shot at, whipped, or beaten at one time or another.
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Well, I've heard about such things, but I just never saw it.
Well, I ain't saying you get used to it, but then again, I ain't gotten used to the food this place serves neither. Especially the meat. That beef's so tenacious that every time I meet a cow, I feel the need to apologize.
Yes, well, we all know that conditions here aren't as comfortable as we'd wish them to be.
Not at all, sir. Other than the buildings falling apart, the lack of heat, and the unruly food, it's not too bad.
And don't forget about being shot at.
Yeah, and that.
Now, the faculty and students knew going in that things might be difficult for a time. What they didn't know was that it would get worse before it ever got better. Months into the opening of the university, funds were so low that the school had to begin charging tuition. And as a result, many students left. And before long, the school was stuck in a financial crisis.
How bad is it, Mr. White?
We are in arrears by $80,000 principal expense.
Oh, such a debt. Can we turn to the families for more help?
Sir, the average income for our families is scarcely more than $8 a month. They can't afford to give more than that.
Yeah.
As it is, even the students kept home by bad weather continue to pay something. They believe so much in what we're trying to accomplish.
Yes, but it's not enough. The bill collectors are constantly at my door. You're the treasurer. What do you suggest we do?
I have a bit of savings, sir. It won't undo the debt, of course, but it will help feed the students for a time.
Well, that's good of you, but it only helps us for a short while.
Principal Spence, I had another idea.
Yes?
The other night, I was making the rounds through the campus.
I'm grateful that you keep a watchful eye.
I passed the students' sleeping quarters, and as you know, they are oftentimes gathered together, singing.
Yes, I've heard them.
You may recall that I used to be a choir master, as well as a band sergeant. I believe it would do much for morale if we were to create a choir. Singing seems to bring them comfort. And after all they've been through and continue to endure, a choir might lift their spirits.
I agree. You have my permission, Mr. White. So long as it doesn't cost us anything.
Thank you, sir.
You want us to join a chorus, Mr. White?
Yes, Ella.
What kind of songs will we sing?
Well, I've assembled a selection of cantatas and hymns. Once we become skilled in those, we could hold a concert here at the school.
Oh, wait. We're not used to singing that style of music, sir.
It's God music, and that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm,
that's
right. Me too.
Mm-hmm, and me, Benjamin. I'll need all of you to recommend other skilled singers.
Well, yes, sir.
I know several.
Oh, as do I.
Ask them if they want to join us. We'll practice in my apartment every night after classes, beginning tomorrow.
Well, all right.
Okay. Oh, I wouldn't mind singing over lunchtime, too. Music makes the food taste better.
Oh, come on, so true.
Excellent. Well, my friends, it appears we have the makings of the first official choir at Fisk University.
God is the refuge of his people.
Good. You all have talent, to be sure. Mr. Rutling?
Yes, sir?
I've heard many tenor voices in my day, and it would not be an exaggeration in the least to admit that yours is the best among them.
Why, thank you, Mr. White.
Your enunciation, however, leaves a great deal to be desired. If you make the vowels plain, then the words will be understood. Pronounce them.
Yes, sir.
Phoebe?
Yes, Mr. White.
Your delivery is too stiff. The trick is to use the same natural expressions that you would if you were speaking to the audience.
Thank you, sir.
The rest of you be careful for harsh tones. Harsh tones will kill perfect pitch every time. Think soft, round tones. And I don't wish to hear any S's from the ladies. Men, you alone will sing the S's. But remember...
No harsh tones.
Quite right, Thomas. The thing to do, students, is think of the people who hear you singing. What tragedies have come into their lives that need healing? The Lord God has given us music as a balm to soothe souls.
Amen. Mm.
Sing to them. That is enough. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Good night, Mr. White.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to
What is that song? Where did you learn it?
It's one of the songs we grew up with. We call them spiritual songs.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yes.
Our parents taught them to us while we worked in the fields or went to church meetings.
But where did they come by the songs?
Well, they're from our past. The stories of our people. Our folks wrote them, and their folks.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What about this song in particular? Where did it come from?
Well, sir, I was born a slave, the youngest of 9 children. My father ran. Well, maybe he was sold, we never knew, before I was even born. My mother was sold when I was 3. I began working in the fields when I was 8. An old woman sang that song most days. I sang it to myself at bedtime. It helped me sleep.
Do you know other songs like this?
Well, yes, there must be hundreds.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Will you teach them to me?
Happy to. I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Good day, Mr. Billings. How's business?
Slow, but steady.
I've come to order some additional supplies.
I see. I was hoping you'd come to pay for the ones you've already received.
I wish I had the money. Things are still rather lean. If we could have a bit more time.
I have given you a bit more time. Every week you come in. But I'm fresh out of time, Mr. White. I have bills to pay, too. But I can't pay mine unless my customers pay theirs.
I know you believe in what we're trying to accomplish at Fisk.
I do. I believe in a great many things. But sometimes believing and doing are different. And I know that I cannot give you any more supplies until your bill is paid in full.
Mr. Billings, please. We've already had a number of students and teachers quit because of malnutrition. I'm not sure what we'll do if we can't rely on your assistance.
I'm sorry, Mr. White. I truly am. I have children of my own. But there's nothing more I can do. Good day, sir.
Yes. Good day. Did you go over my transcriptions of your spiritual songs, Ella?
I did. They're very accurate. And may I say, sir, what you've accomplished with the choir in this brief time is nothing short of amazing. Everyone agrees that you have a gift from God.
Well, I'm not so sure Principal Spence agrees. But I believe the time will come when we will tour. And when that happens, I'll need an assistant. Or the perfect person for the job, Miss Shepherd.
Me? I would be honored, sir.
Mr. White, over here.
What is it, Thomas?
In the storage building.
Yes?
And here.
What am I looking at?
An old slave pen. No better than a jail cell, really. Slaves for sale were kept in pens like this until they were bought.
Slaves stayed in these cramped stalls?
Mm-hmm.
There's barely room to move.
Well, I was cleaning up this pen here, sir. Trying to dress the campus up a bit. Under all the muck and clutter, I found these.
Manacles.
And ankle chains. From the slave days. I'd rather the others didn't see them, sir. They don't carry good memories. What should I do with them? Hmm.
Thomas, have you ever heard of the story of Joseph?
I certainly have. He was a slave just like us. A real Bible inspiration. When he explained those dreams and the Pharaoh took him out of the prison and made him the second most powerful man in the land, why, it gave me hope.
Do you remember what he said to his brothers who sold him into slavery? What you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Hmm. What's your meaning, Mr. White?
Man created these chains for evil, but we're going to make good come from them.
How?
Gather them all together, as many as you can find. We'll sell them to the ironmonger for scrap. This big a pile should bring in a fair sum.
Maybe we could use that money to fund a tour.
Eventually. Right now, I'd like to purchase books for the school with that money. Then maybe by paying for the books, we'll find the money for a tour. God does work in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Right you are.
You wanted to see me, Principal Spence?
Yes, Mr. White. Sit down. I want to talk to you about the extra money you've generated.
God's provision at work.
Indeed. But I wish you had consulted with me first. There are more pressing needs than books.
Oh, I beg to differ. What could be more important?
We might have paid off our food bill at the mercantile. I'm sure you'd agree that food is as vital as books.
We're making do with donations from the local farmers. The school can't continue, though, without textbooks.
The school may not continue with them.
What are you saying?
Our benefactors at the American Missionary Association have notified me that they now doubt the need for this school.
I'm astounded. How can they doubt that?
Easily, it would seem. The other schools they support are all in better condition, physically and financially. They have suggested that since this school is struggling, it may be prudent to pull their support from us and increase their funding for the schools most likely to succeed.
I see. Have they made their final decision?
Not yet. But their letter to me suggests that if we do not turn our circumstances around and become more self-sufficient by the end of the year, they will indeed discontinue our funding.
That's a bookkeeper's thinking for you. If we could support ourselves, we wouldn't need their help. We need it now because we can't support ourselves.
Even so, we must abide by the directive given us by our own board.
Perhaps there's a way to accomplish that.
Go on.
I believe the choir I've assembled is of a standard to perform anywhere, for anyone. They're among the best I've ever heard.
I'm sure they are.
I recommend that we take the choir on a tour. Oh,
impossible! I will not resort to theatrics.
Given the chance, they may be able to generate funds. Perhaps even give wider exposure to who we are and what we hope to accomplish.
We simply cannot afford to support a tour, Mr. White. We can't even support ourselves. And if God does not see fit to rescue this difficult time, then we have to assume that it's his will that it fails.
It's been my experience that God uses his people to accomplish his will. Moses obeyed and took action, though it was God who parted the Red Sea.
With respect, sir, I have not seen that you are our Moses. While you persist in your efforts towards a choir, your fundraising has fallen short.
I believe the choir and my fundraising go hand in hand.
I suggest you reconsider your position, or I shall have to do it for you.
Are you threatening me, sir?
I am telling you to do the job for which you were hired. We are finished with this conversation.
This conversation is not finished. It is merely concluded for the moment.
While Principal Spence was firmly opposed to the idea of a tour, White became more and more certain every day that it was God's instrument of provision. He believed that the choir was Fisk's only hope. If Spence would not relent, the school would be destined to fail.